the saints. And though you feel small in God's eyes, you'll stand tall if your footsteps are faithful and true. For the same power that raised Lazarus up from the grave is the same power Jesus gives to you. Great things are in store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the backs of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going to do great.
And once again, good afternoon to you. It's drive time and prayer time normally with Dr. Barton. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, he is out on the job site and working, getting a roof put back on. And so again, he's got things lined up and lots of workers there working. And so we want to thank the Lord for that, and thank you for being on board with us this afternoon. Appreciate you being with us. And again, Pastor Eddie Conard with you for drive time today. And yes, you I've been with you through most of the day today, at least since 10 o'clock this morning. Have you enjoyed this day? I hope that you have enjoyed this beautiful day out there. It's absolutely gorgeous. And we'll talk a little bit more about weather coming up here in just a moment, but let's take a look at our traffic, as Brother Barton does every day about this time, because I know that there are lots of folks that are probably listening in their cars and trying to find a way home around all of this construction. To have our economy in the shape that it's in, there's a whole lot of construction going on. And speaking of construction, we've got delays all over the place, especially there in about I-240 around Asheville is almost literally a parking lot. If you think about it, as you come around on the east side, 240 there, as you get off on that side, it's showing some heavy traffic in that area. And of course, as you come back around town and head toward Patton Avenue, and you get down to there where all the it's not too bad coming off I-26 eastbound, but once you get on the bridge and you make the loop in trying to go eastbound onto 240, it starts to back up a little bit, obviously there at the mall at Haywood Road, and that's backing up quite a bit. Also, on the eastbound side, it is heavy traffic going into Asheville right now on 240. And then zooming on out a little bit more, as we get over to the Farmers Market and Malfunction Junction and all of that, again, traffic is pretty slow going. But once you get on I-26, it starts to speed up a little bit. And given all the construction there, not too bad until, and it's always the until you get down to the Long Shoals Road exit there at 146, got traffic backed up on the westbound side of I-26, and causing a lot of backup on both sides, actually, as they're working in that area again today. And in that general area over on 191, we've got traffic backed up as well. Sardis Road, almost the entire length of Sardis Road, all the way from Inca Village over to 191, it's a solid red line as traffic is backed up over there. So again, it's going to be slow going as you head down 191, and then things start to speed up a little bit on I-26 past the airport, and looks like so far smooth sailing all the way down through even where they're working on the new Peter on the Peter Geist Bridge, where they're going to be a new bridge, and done on down to South Carolina, looking really good on I-26 right now. Looks like we've got a little slowdown right in the town of Fletcher. That's normal for this time of day, as folks are trying to get around all of that construction. And 25 in Biltmore Forest is stop and go on the southbound lane as you go near the Blue Ridge Parkway. So watch out for that area. And let's take a look at I-40 East out toward Old Fort, down toward Marion, looking good down toward the mountain. Nothing major in that direction. And then out on the west side on I-40, looking toward Tennessee, the gorge is looking really good this afternoon. So very, very encouraging if you're making your journey. East and westbound on I-26 toward Tennessee, above Asheville, looking really good. And let's slip off down across the state line into South Carolina. And yes, we do have delays. Always, always, always. On I-85, we've got delays right near the airport. And again, that is a trouble spot every day. And so near where Highway 14 crosses over, we've got slowdowns both east and westbound there in Greenville, coming out of Greenville, and then headed towards Spartanburg. Same story. We've got slowdowns there on 85 where we've got a crash just looks like just north of USC Upstate, right there near Valley Falls. We've got a crash there on 85, which is slowing the southbound lane, and it's going to create some problems for you as you travel 85 south. And then and it looks like just one right now until you get back up where the 85 and 585 split comes back together, and we've got another crash, which is near Dewberry Road on I-85 southbound, and it's got traffic backed up all the way up to Highway 110. And so, yeah, you're going to have a slow go if you're headed south on 85 coming out of Gaffney, headed toward down toward Greenville this afternoon in Spartanburg. So watch out for that. If your commute takes you between Charlotte and Spartanburg, you're going to have a little slow go because of that automobile accident on I-85. Everywhere else looking pretty good right now. Again, construction, don't see any crashes in our construction zones here in North Carolina, but it's going to be slow going, and we're just going to have to get used to that, and you're probably going to be hearing a lot of that over the next few years, as we've mentioned over and over and over, and we've talked about it regarding our construction. Yeah, we appreciate folks making contact with us this afternoon. 577-1296 is our text line, and you can certainly report your traffic if you're in a spot. Now, I don't want you to make sure I put this disclaimer out there. If you're in a spot where you can text, then certainly you can text us your situation. You might be in traffic, and we got one, Ms. Karen, telling us we've got I-191 moving just slow. Okay, we appreciate that, and appreciate folks watching there. By way of WGCR video, thank you so very much for watching this afternoon. And again, if you want to let us know, 577-1296, you can text us, or you can just give us a call, 828-884-9427. And as Pastor Barton says, this is two-way radio, if you will, and we'll be happy to communicate with you. Let us know what you're into this afternoon. And again, thank you for being with us. We'll take a quicker look here later on at our traffic as the evening moves on, but right now it looks pretty gnarly all the way around Asheville right now. Okay, so again, thank you for being with us this afternoon. Appreciate the opportunity. I can't say that enough, to be here and to be working back again on the radio, and thank Dr. Barton for allowing us to be with you this afternoon. Quick look at our forecast. We are enjoying some beautiful, beautiful weather, as I've mentioned all day long. It's going to be nice, and I appreciate Brother Daniel being next door in the studio, being the producer for us today. I'm probably driving him crazy because I'm going from one thing to the other pretty quick. But again, I hope you have enjoyed this beautiful weather. It looked like it's going to hang around for a little while. Did you have frost this morning? How about some of you? Let me know, text me, or give us a call. Let us know if you've had frost. Some areas, obviously, in the higher elevations probably did, got quite low. And I know that our low to here, if I'm looking at our low today, 31. Yeah, 31 degrees here at the studio this morning. So I'm sure that some of the areas in this part got some frost. Didn't have any on mine. Went down our way toward Saluda, just south, toward, you know, the southern part of Henderson County. So we're maybe a tad warmer down there until these cold days catch up with everybody. But I know a lot of folks had a frost warning last night. And, yeah, that's the first time when a widespread area gets a frost warning, and it's when the National Weather Service will put that out for everybody. And so you may have frost and some didn't. We had one text in says, yeah, Brianna says they had frost in Rosman. So, yeah, just depending on where you were. And probably was our first taste of frost for this season for a lot of folks, because over the next several days, speaking of weather, we're going to warm up just a little. Not quite as cold tonight, only getting down around 40 degrees, so take a little break from the chilly. I won't say cold, but chilly. I know Brother Kevin Smith and his wife and a family are making a journey down, and they were showing a picture in the vehicle that they were riding in of 90-degree temperatures there in Texas, and they were saying they weren't used to that, because 30 degrees in Alaska, it feels like a heat wave. And they weren't quite accustomed to all that, but 30 for some people. And I know that I'll open up a can of worms, because some people don't like even 30. But yeah, it was real nice this morning, and hope that you enjoy that over these next few days. We're going to have some fall-like temperatures. Tuesday, looking about 70 degrees for a high with lots of sunshine, and then partly cloudy Tuesday night, lows of around 43, so warming up a little. And then on Wednesday, even warmer, sunny with 72 and with a light wind, and then clear again on Wednesday night, where we jump back up to 47, and you know what that means, because every time it starts to warm up and we start to see the temperature start to rise, that's because those chances of our precipitation starts to move in. And so, yeah, a 30% chance of some showers. And they're not calling for thunderstorms. They're just calling for showers. So probably those hit-and-miss showers. And other than that, mostly sunny on Thursday, only a high near 70. And then Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 1 a.m. with a low near 52. Then we're going to start to cool back down again. And looking toward the weekend, sunny skies all the way through Sunday. Highs reaching, now get this, Sunday highs only going to be 64 again. And then lows at night in the low to mid 40s. So just that slight chance on Thursday and Thursday night. That noise that you might be hearing in the background, folks that are listening this afternoon, that noise you might be hearing, we've got construction going on everywhere. We got construction going on here just outside the studio part of the building, where windows are being put in and all that stuff. They're working on the building here this evening. So, yeah, you may hear a little bit of noise and a little hum in the background, but that's what we're experiencing this afternoon. So we thank the Lord for all that He continues to do, even and about the ministry. Yep, we see. Let me get this one right here. 5130 said that they had frost over in Crusoe. Okay, so a little bit higher elevation over there, down in those valleys, had some frost as well. And then Brother Daniel said that they it was 31 at his house this morning. And so yeah, it's just depending on where you were. And the wide range of temperatures. And we've got not too bad a wide range of temperatures this afternoon. We're still hovering in the mid-60s, but down in the upstate, Spartanburg's at 72. Greenville is holding out at, you know, about 72 as well. Some little cooler in some spots. But these clear skies out there has kept our temperatures a little on the cooler side today. So just get out and enjoy it as much as you can. It won't be long that, you know, the 1st of November is going to start rolling around, and we're going to start to see these nighttime lows get on down there. But let's enjoy it. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Well, I believe some of you probably heard it maybe at Swap Shop today. We were talking about several subjects, and I just want to say that Well, before I do that, let me just shift gears. Let me just do this before I get into too much of that particular subject. And I wanted to really spend a little bit of time on that this afternoon. I want to thank our sponsors for today. And I do appreciate the Stony Fork Independent Baptist Church. They are our AM 720 sponsors for today, and they're doing this in honor of their pastor, Brother Jeff Massey's birthday, which is today. So happy birthday, Pastor Jeff. Appreciate you and appreciate your dear folks there at the Stony Fork Independent Baptist Church, and they are provided the listener's portion of AM 720 budget today. So thank you so very much to you folks. And also, again, FM 94.9 and the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network. And that includes WGCR.net, the preaching, music, and video channels being sponsored in thankfulness to the Lord for His many blessings, His continued provisions, and His unconditional love toward His children. And no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And how many of us can also claim that phrase? Boy, what a blessing. He certainly has cared for us, and we appreciate our anonymous sponsors of FM 94.9 and the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network today. And so, happy birthday, Brother Jeff Massey, on this your day, and also Miss Katie Brown having a birthday today. So congratulations to you folks. And maybe if you haven't heard, if you want to let us know about someone having a birthday or an anniversary, you still got time. You can go ahead and text us, again, that number, 577-1296, or you can call us, area code 828-884-9427, and we'll get that on the day book and make sure that that those names get on the day book. And so, again, we thank the Lord for all of His blessings. Amen. Hey, did you know it's only 38 days until Thanksgiving? 38 days until Thanksgiving. It's hard to believe. We're already through the middle of the month of October, and it's rapidly approaching. And y'all know what that means. When we get toward the end of October and the 1st of November, and then our holiday promotions start, and we start shooting turkeys and ringing bells and all those things coming up in the next couple of months. And that's always an exciting time. And not only as an announcer, but for our listeners, because our listeners, they get to join in all the fun and trying to win one of them hams or one of those turkeys. And it's always fun for us, too, because we start counting those days down, and of course it don't start until the 1st of November when we start shooting them turkeys, and so we're going to have fun doing that. So again, I won't be long. We've only got a few more days of this month, and then we'll be starting that coming November. So that's always a fun time around here on the radio, and to hear folks get excited on the other end whenever they take a shot and get you one of those turkeys or hams. What a blessing. And so we're looking forward to that. All right. Yeah. I'll address that in just a little bit. We'll make sure that I've got the dates right on that. And we do. Yes, Miss Juanita, we'll get those information for you and pass that along to you in a response to your text. Amen. Certainly will. Well, I know that many of you have been listening in regards to the situation that's been going on down in Haiti. And of course, I said it at the at Swap Shop today, where I had been involved with some mission work a few years ago down in Port-au-Prince, and been there a couple of times. And my very first exposure to mission work. When as a young preacher, just a young buck, if you will, sitting on the church pew at the Beulah Baptist Church and learning and getting our feet wet, involved in missions and all that stuff. And so we had the opportunity to go there several years ago to work in the orphanage and the Christian school down there and help put a roof back on the school, and of course went back and made school desk for the school and all of that. And it was just really a blessing to be a part. And that mission trip did something for me and probably all the men that went with us when we were there in those days. And I was encouraged by that. I really was blessed. And as it always is, usually we go to be a blessing, and you come away burdened and blessed. And it's always an enlightening time. And so they've always had a special place in my heart for the people of Haiti for years and years. And we've supported mission work there. Brother Jean-Baptiste there was one of our missionaries we supported for years from our church. And we continued to do that through his son after he passed away. And so, yeah, it's been a really close mission work to our hearts and to our church. Well, you know, as the news says broke over the weekend of some missionaries that have been, they were kidnapped. They were abducted. They had left because of the civil unrest in that area over the last months, and they went back. And they were actually trying to ramp up the work there because of the all the things that's been going on in the country, from the damage that happened from the earthquakes, as well as the assassination of their president not too long ago. And so that the country of Haiti has it's been difficult, to say the least, to do mission work in, without a doubt. And to imagine, I mentioned this again at during the at 12 o'clock today, that it's a country that has had its shares of woes down through the years, and it has a long history of many influences from different countries and being governed by different nations, and the people there have had it, to say the least, have had it rough between natural disasters and a corrupt government system. And of course their natural resources have been depleted, and companies that once were major corporations involved in that nation pulled out because of the civil unrest and the governmental unrest. And one thing has just led to another, and it has spiraled just pretty much out of control. And but when you're there and you're doing mission work amongst the people of Haiti, they are very loving people. And they especially when you're working with the children. And I was so blessed to be a part of that in years gone by. And I really, I'm praying that the missionaries that were abducted over the last this past weekend, and really, if you look at the statistics, by this it's this gang, and that's what it is. It's a gang. It's called the 400 Mawozo, if I can say that right. That's what it is. The Mawozo gang. They control basically a suburb of the capital of Port-au-Prince. In other words, they're a extra. What I mean by that, they're outside the realm of government control and even police control, and they are notorious for killings and kidnappings and extortion. And this past weekend, they got on a bus that was carrying 12 adults and 5 children, and from a U.S.-based missionary group, and and took them hostage. And of course, they're waiting, and they've been in contact with the group that they work through, the Christian Aid Ministries there in Ohio, and they've been in contact with them. And of course, I'm sure that this gang is starting to make their demands and doing what they do in order to try to extort money from this group and to allow, you know, to get these missionaries released. But historically, sadly to say, historically these kidnappers and this gang, they don't normally release. And I ain't saying that to be a doom and gloom. I'm praying that God would intervene, and certainly that's what this this ministry, Christian Aid Ministries, is praying as well, is that their captors would be enlightened, and that they'd realize that, you know, that they need the Lord and they need to get saved. This is a very, very touch and go situation. Our State Department has once again put forth their generic response, and that they say that they're in regular contact with the senior Haitian authorities and would continue to work with them and their interagency partners. And this is their blanket statement that they make: the welfare and safety of U.S. citizens abroad is one of the most highest priorities of the Department of State. And that is quote unquote from the agency that they made in this statement. But I can tell you, when you're in countries like this and situations like this, unfortunately, it doesn't rank very high on the priority list when it comes to the State Department oftentimes. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to, but oftentimes, given the situation there in Haiti, and again, this is the Western Hemisphere's poorest nation. It is the poorest nation in our hemisphere. And they struggle, and they're continuing to struggle because there is no really a stationary, formal form of government. And right now, again, I'm just reading some statistics here that, you know, they've when the president, after their president was assassinated, they've had two earthquakes, a 7 and a 7.2 magnitude earthquakes, killed over 2,200 people. The state of emergency in that state is to say the least. And I know that Sea Hope has been there delivering supplies, and they've been working with some Haitian folks trying to get them some relief. And it's a very, very touchy situation right now. And historically, they didn't really interfere with missions work, and with especially Americans, because, as I mentioned earlier today, you know, it's only a three-hour flight. By the time you get the layover in Miami, if you're flying from here and you get the layover in Miami, it really is shorter than that, not counting the layover. But you can be in Port-au-Prince in no time. And America, especially those coastal cities, a lot of them have a Haitian population. In Miami, in New Orleans, a lot of places like that have a lot of Haitian immigrants that have come here. And so there are close ties with the nation of Haiti and the United States. And the Haitians depend a lot on the American influence, and they depend a lot on the welfare and the support from the Americans that go there. And so in the past, historically, these groups didn't mess with Americans, but now, with the absence of government and the absence of police taking control, caller texts us, says that, you know, that over 3 years, this group has grown in strength, taken over, as I said, the suburb there of Port-au-Prince, Coyee de Bouquets, which is a suburb of the capital city of Port-au-Prince. 628 kidnappings have happened since January. Yes, including 29 foreigners. And their numbers have grown from 150 members to 400 demanding ransom. And usually, typically, it's about $20,000 per person. So it's time, I believe, and I make this statement, that it's time the U.S. government step up and make their position known on this, other than just the generic statement. You know, I believe with all my heart that American citizens that are in danger need to, our government needs to revert back to its policy that we don't need, we don't negotiate with terrorists, and we don't negotiate with paramilitary groups or anything like this. We need to secure their freedom. And we've got congressmen already working on that, and we thank the Lord for that. They need to be tracked down, and we need to, I believe with all my heart, we need to, if we have to, we send the military in to get them. That's plain and simple. That's, if it was your family, if it was members of your church on the mission field, if it was you know, anywhere for that matter, anyone for that matter, it just needs to it needs to be handled, and the United States has the capability to handle that, and so yeah, we need to deal with that, and it needs to be done quickly and swiftly. Let me remind you, not only are there adults in this, but there are children involved, you know, we've got this situation going on in Haiti. We've got Christians that were left behind in Afghanistan. We've got situations very similar to this going all around the world. And I'll just be honest with you, our State Department and our administration has been soft on these on situations. And we need to get back to the days where America once, they walked softly, but we carried a big stick, as Teddy Roosevelt said, amen to that. And so, again, my biggest request today is that we pray. And we pray for these missionaries, pray for the children that are there, that are with these families. We were talking families and their children were abducted. And we need to pray for their safety, pray that God would just mercifully overshadow them and protect them. And then that God would turn the heart, that God would turn the heart of their captors, and the Lord would intervene in this situation so they could be released. And we're praying to that end today. And I know I got a little early start on my prayer request, but we need to really, really pray for that situation, because it may be some missionary that you might know in another part of this country, in another part of the world, that you may know personally, that may be in that situation. And we've had several, even from Anchor here, that you know, were very, very close to being in that situation. So yeah, we're praying for those people this afternoon. Well, just a quick note, and I know we mentioned it at the top of the day, but let me mention it to you again. The deadline for FEMA public assistance for Tropical Storm Fred is rapidly approaching, and FEMA is trying to touch base with many houses of worship and private nonprofits in order to help them apply for financial assistance in the counties that were impacted by Tropical Storm Fred. And what they're saying is that, you know, a lot of these houses of worship and nonprofits that were in the affected areas, such as Buncombe, Haywood, and Transylvania counties, they were so busy trying to help others that were affected, individuals, you know, during the aftermath of the tropical storm, that more than likely their own needs were set aside for just a little while in order to be able to help their communities and help their members and help those that were in desperate need. And so now, with those folks being helped and getting their information into the system so they can get the assistance, here's FEMA making sure that those nonprofits and those churches and houses of worship who may need help as well, make sure their information is in the system so that they can find out if they are eligible for FEMA public assistance, as well as the low interest loans from the U.S. Small Business Administration. So again, entities which helped out during the recovery and the restoration are also being encouraged to make sure that you get your information in the system, but you only have until October the 22nd. Okay, so October the 22nd is the last day that you can apply for that, and that comes from Buncombe, Haywood, in Transylvania. Okay, and to do that, you first of all have to apply with the North Carolina Department of Public Safety Public Assistance before applying to FEMA, and then you can go to get that through FEMA. So again, to apply for the public assistance, you can go to public.assistance@ncdps.gov. All right, and then I think the date has been extended out to October 31st for those affected in Ashe, Graham, Jackson, and Mitchell counties. Okay, so that being said, again, make sure that you get your information. By the way, if you don't know, this Friday is the 22nd. Okay, so make sure that you get that information into the system. And I know some of you folks out there were busy helping other folks, and you wanted to make sure all of that got took care of, and that's wonderful, and I know the Lord will bless that. But also, don't forget that if your building, your houses of worship, your nonprofits were also damaged, you may be eligible, it says, to receive that assistance as well, okay? So make sure. And, of course, these counties, Ashe, Avery, Buncombe, Grand, Haywood, Jackson, Madison, Mitchell, Transylvania, Yancey, or Watauga counties. And again, if you need more information about that, you can go to ncdps:public assistance or public.assistance@ncdps.gov, and they can help you go through the paperwork necessary. All right. Yeah. Let's see. Let me get a couple of texts here. A question was asked. Good question. Why would we send missionaries to hostile countries? Okay. Well, there is a biblical explanation to that. And of course, I want to, and that's basically what the application I'm going to apply to it. You know, when the Lord said for us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, okay, I understand that there is no provision in that verse to say that we are only supposed to go to friendly countries or friendly parts of the world. It is whatever the Lord lays upon that heart of that missionary and the burden that God gives them to go to that particular part of the world. And yes, you're exactly right. Every time that someone receives that burden from the Lord to go to the mission field, it may not be the rosiest of situations. It may not be where you have everything go exactly right. It's not going to. And sometimes obviously there's good days and good times, and you see the Lord work and the church plants and the converts and all of that, and that those are all the wonderful, wonderful things. And then there's the downside, and there's the dangers that are involved, and when you're obedient to the Lord and you're trying to be obedient to the Lord, One person said, the Apostle Paul went to Lystra and Derbe, even though he knew when he got there that he was going to be stoned. He made the statement in the book of Acts that he was going to. He said, "I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what might befall me there." But you notice, and again, I appreciate the question, because it really does beg an answer. The Apostle Paul said, I kept nothing back. And he said, I don't know what's going to befall me there. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. And I can't even begin to count the number of missionaries who have obeyed the call and have sacrificed everything they have and left it on the mission field. And they kept nothing back. And yes, some have even, and I don't like to say lost their lives, because they gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And they were in hostile territory. Some may be in a third world country. Some may not. Some may be behind the Iron Curtain back in the days of the Cold War. They were behind enemy lines where having an open Bible on display could you have you arrested and put in prison and tortured. The disciples experienced those same things. But the call of God is greater than our desires. And so it ain't about us sending them. And I appreciate the question. It ain't about us sending them. It's about us obeying the call of God to that place where we may know that it may be dangerous. And we may find out after we get there we need to trust God more than trust man. And we pray for them. And as the song says, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. Amen. I hope that was an answer. It's not always it's always not really cut and dried and straightforward for, those answers. But I believe the Bible, and I believe the call of God is often greater, and it is greater than any of our desires. And so, again, we're praying for those missionaries again today. Speaking of prayer requests, I'm getting ready to run out of time here in just a little bit. But again, we want to pray. Had an urgent prayer request called in a little bit ago. And let me just shift gears for just a second and give you some prayer requests. I did have a request to pray for a 3-year-old that fell off a trampoline. And then the trampoline flipped over and hit her in the head, and she had a penetrating injury into her head. And so being evaluated at the hospital, and so I would ask you to remember that urgent request in your prayers there. The Lord knows the need, and certainly any time a child is involved, it tends to tug at our heartstrings a little bit harder. So I would ask you to remember that situation as well. Also would ask you to pray for a family, for provision of a family member who is sick. Let's remember that request this afternoon. And then also pray for a family with COVID. The mother is also battling cancer. And so let's pray for that mother, not only with COVID, but also battling cancer. Here's another prayer request wanting us to pray for God's will to be done in their life concerning a trip that they're going to be taking. We'll certainly pray for that. And here's a dear lady that's asking for prayer for several unspoken requests. And I know that many of us have those. Every time I ask for prayer requests at the church, so many hands go up for those unspoken requests. And God knows each and every hand that's raised, and certainly he sees this unspoken request today, also with some health issues. So let's remember that, dear lady, for today as well. And just a quick note, pray for your pastors. And I wanted to mention a little bit more about it, but I talked a little bit more about Haiti today and that situation going on there. But I would ask you to pray for your pastors. And I know this is kind of hard for even me to speak in the third person, because I am a pastor. But there's a lot of pastors out there right now that are struggling. And I know we've mentioned it many, many times, but it is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I would encourage your churches and all of your folks, and I know many of you do, and you're faithful to do it, and God bless you. And it's well received. I know this pastor myself. I'm blessed beyond measure from my folks. They really have loved on us, not only in Pastor Appreciation Month, but every service, every month of the year. They are so good to me and my wife and family, and I just love them, and I appreciate all they do. But I would encourage churches, and I know you do, so pray for him most of all. Pray for him most of all, that God would just empower him and embolden him to preach with the whole counsel of God, that the Word of God would have free course, and that he'd preach full of the Holy Ghost and stand in pulpits service after service after service to lead God's sheep along the journey. We need preachers that will preach and feed sheep. Amen. I believe it was Brother Eddie Davis said it one time. He said that if you'll feed the sheep food, that the wolves will starve to death. And amen to that. And so we need to be feeding sheep, encouraging sheep for the journey. And so we need to really, really pray for our pastors that they are encouraged in these days. And we want to be an encouragement to them as well. So God bless you pastors out there, and we're certainly praying for you today. Now, I would go to the, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll sign off for this afternoon from the drive time point of view. And we're going to we'll have Miss Brianna come in here and take us up through the evening hours. But again, thank you for being with us this afternoon, and thank Dr. Barton for allowing us to be in here. Not in his place. I'm just sitting in a chair trying to pass a few words along to you. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow in your presence this evening, thanking you, Lord, for a beautiful, beautiful day. And Lord, you've blessed us. And it's so beautiful outside. The beautiful sunshine, just the gentle breeze, just a few clouds and the cool temperatures. We just certainly have enjoyed the day. And I pray that, Lord, as we go into these evening hours, that, Lord, that you'll help us to reflect when we look around and all the beautiful colors on display, all the beautiful weather you've provided, that, Lord, you're still on the throne and you're still, Lord, in charge of it all. Father, the situation in Haiti, we pray for these missionaries and the children, their families, Lord, that are held captive, Lord, trying to do a work for God. Lord, you know the needs there. I'm praying for their safety. I'm praying, Lord, that by your miraculous power, you can reach in and allow those folks to be released. And Lord, that you would sway the heart of their captors. Father, even to the point of salvation, that something may be said by someone there that may lead them to Christ. Father, I pray for our State Department and our leadership and the military, that whatever may happen, Lord, if it be your will, to do what's necessary in order to retrieve our American citizens. Father, I pray for the lone Canadian citizen that is with them, that God, that you would watch over them as well, and God, that you would intervene, and Lord, that you would see to their release before too much more time passes. I pray for this little child, this three-year-old that fell from an injury, Lord, off a trampoline and now is injured and has a head injury. I pray, God, that you would intervene in that situation, in that hospital right now. Lord, you know that we know you're the only one that can handle that, and we're praying that your will be done there. These many requests of prayer, Lord, that are on our prayer list, the ones that are sick, the ones that have COVID, the ones that have special requests, and the unspoken requests. You know their needs long before they ever asked. And so we pray, God, your will be done, because we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. We humbly do ask. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us on this Monday evening. Went a little overtime, but that'll be all right. again, as Dr. Barton would say, as thank you for once again joining us. And whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.
Peter and John saw while walking along a lame man begging alms by the gate. Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a cripple was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are in store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the backs of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going to do